Good Monday morning, this final day of June. This is Spoofhound Spotlight on KXCV with Interim Superintendent for Maryville Schools, Phil Porin. I'm Gavin McGough. Porin joined me for a conversation last week here at the studio. He's got an update on Maryville Schools, an update on some state legislation, and we're bringing you that conversation today. Phil Porin, thank you for joining us today. And we're going to talk some school stuff.
Absolutely, Gavin. Nice to be in studio with you. I'm used to being in studio with Matt, so it's good to see a fresh face. And Gavin, I know there's a lot of folks probably out there that are wondering who you are, but what I know about you is you've been out east and you've been in Colorado. So welcome to Maryville. How have you liked it so far?
Well, thank you. It's been windy, it's been rainy, and now it's hot.
Wait until the humidity, man. It's going to get you. That's what they say about the Midwest. The humidity, watch out, baby. It's for real.
All right. So school is out. We still have updates for you. So you met as a board, as a district last week, got some stuff done. What are the highlights from that meeting?
You bet. So last week we met. Our school board meets once a month, the third Wednesday of the month. This time of year, we typically meet on a noon board meeting, kind of get that out of the way. But other than that, it's a 6 o'clock meeting on the third Wednesday. You are certainly invited. But school's not in session. Students are home for the summer. Still a full slate of things that we had to cover and get completed. A couple of those are agreements that we annually sign. Some are agreements that are new to us. But one that we're really proud of is through our Northwest Tech School, Jeremy Ingraham, the director there, and Jay Drake, who is in charge of our building trades program, do a fantastic job. Their footprint really is all over this community. Just Saturday, we had a ceremony, gave the keys to a deserving family on the Habitat House. A lot of folks present for that, and just a wonderful, wonderful build. But we have an opportunity to go into the Tranquility Court subdivision, and through the generosity of Double B Developments, we will have a lot that our students can go the course of this next school year and begin working on a home that will then be sold. And just a great opportunity for our students to engage in real life activities. Only get about an hour and a half in the morning and an hour and a half in the afternoon, but boy, they get the job done. Again, Jay Drake does a wonderful job organizing and leading that project, and supported again by the Tech School, our Board of Education, and the community. I think they have come to see some of the work that our Tech School, Trade School guys do, and it's really top notch.
Pretty cool. Check it out at Mazingo Lake, as I understand.
Yeah, if you haven't been out there yet, about 2 or 3 months ago, we had a ribbon cutting on the visitor center out there. Again, that's a project that our NTS worked in conjunction with the city on. And again, just a tremendous, tremendous project.
Cool. I also understand you have construction closer to home. What's the update on those projects?
You bet. So our construction at the elementary is still on schedule for a completion date of August the 6th. We start school on the 20th, and we know that August the 6th, when they tell us it's finished, it's not going to be completely finished to 100%, right? But it's going to be to the point where we can begin thinking about getting students into classrooms and having school all under one roof. Again, this last year, our third and fourth graders, they were attending class at a wing at the Tech School. We get to bring them back to the elementary school. We'll have our pre-K through four all back together, and everyone gets a new facility or a new upgrade, as just about every square inch of that building has been touched, renovated, rebuilt, etc. Right now, the construction is going very well. We're within 1% of our budget, and J.E. Dunn, Insight Design, they've done a tremendous job of delivering on the promises that we expected when we put this before our voters about a year ago through Proposition Jump.
Well, I'm used to hearing about construction projects going over budget, things failing to come, and you know, the pandemic, supply chain, all that mess. So hopefully we're moving beyond that. Sounds like things are going well. You also have approved a budget, because our fiscal year is, I know it doesn't feel like the end of the year, but for many local organizations and governments, it is the end of the budget year. And you've adopted a new one coming up?
Yeah, so our first preliminary budget went before the board again this last board meeting, got approval there. We submit that to DESE and they take a look at it. And then we have throughout the course of the year to make some adjustments to that. And there were some numbers on there that I think initially were eye-catching, but we have to remind ourselves that some of those funds are committed from this bond issue. And once we get construction completed underway to completion, we will get back to a budget that looks really good for Maryville R2. Right now, again, just with construction dollars committed to where they are, it does look a little bit over budget, if you will.
It's inflated over prior years.
Yes. Yeah. Our bookkeeper, Mindy Scadden, she has just done a tremendous job of really navigating through all of these additional construction pieces, building this budget, and then looking at it from the standpoint of, hey, there's some promises at the state level for revenues. We've under-budgeted those in hopes that we do get the monies that they guarantee. And then we've also accounted for rising costs with liability insurance, with health insurance. We've given our staff a nice bump with salaries. And we've accounted for those things in this budget, but it's really the construction piece that does look like it's overinflated that budget.
Support for Spoofound Spotlight is provided by the City of Maryville, featuring the Conference Center at Mazingo Lake Recreation Park, offering a destination for wedding receptions, parties, reunions, and more. Details on availability and accommodations are at mazingolake.com. And from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing in Maryville, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years. Kawasaki has employment opportunities available now for all three shifts, weekends, and full and part-time. For more information, KawasakiMaryville.com.
All right. We also, I asked you in today hoping to hear about some state legislation that was passed that the legislators wrapped up their regular session back in May. And there was quite a bit of stuff in some various bills about education. I think you've pulled out a couple to share here.
Yeah, they always either try to hide those education bills or they create these education bills with 30 or 40 other things that are buried into them. But a couple that we kept an eye on, Senate Bill 68, Senate Bill 63, those were in relation to homeschool participants participating in their homeschool's athletics and activities. So anything from FFA and band to football, softball, girls golf, etc. MSHA, DESE, MSHA being our state sports association, MSHA and DESE both have worked through a couple of different angles on this. And probably the thing I would say is, unlike a lot of bills that come out where there's some flexibility by the district to have local control, these bills are pretty specific about some different things. One on the homeschool bill, it does state that, you know, this isn't an if and or but. This is a you are going to do these things and students are going to have the right to participate in your activities and athletics. And if you choose not to do that, then your ties with MSHA will be in jeopardy. To the point that you won't be recognized as a participant under their umbrella. So we will see that impact our school athletics and activities. To what degree, we don't know. We've got a feel for some groups out there that choose to homeschool. What we don't know is, what will that do with our students that are regular attenders now that might change their path and become homeschool students? Will that create significant less number of students and seats for us? Will that create more of a tryout on a team because now we've got a lot more students that want to participate in basketball, for example?
Right. So perhaps activities are acting as a draw to actually be enrolled.
Absolutely. That's correct. And prior to this bill, we did have some regulations on how many hours you needed to have a seat time or attendance before you could participate. So there are certainly some things that will work out that will come through our legislative bodies that will give us some policy and some policy updates that we'll go before our board with. But there is maybe a little less local control. And then the cell phone ban, maybe even less yet, because that ban is saying that students cannot have an electronic device from the moment the first bell rings until the moment the last bell rings. So the entire length of the school day, cell phones and electronic devices that are designed for receiving messages, phone calls, etc. Those are to be put away, locked away safely and securely during the length of the school day. Our middle school has adopted that kind of a policy over the last couple of years. This will be new for a lot of high schools in the state of Missouri. And that's a policy, again, that we will get some more information fed down to us by the policymakers. And then we will look at it from the school board's perspective and see what kind of wiggle room, if we even want wiggle room on that, or we just want to accept the policy as is written. So those are a couple that have really kept our attention and, you know, want to cause us to make sure that we are in line with those policies as we get ready to think about students coming in on August 20th.
Right. Do you think there will be an enforcement, pain or challenge in the high school based on your experience with the middle school and on high schoolers with high schoolers so far?
You know, I think for Maryville, this feels like a bill that was designed for Kansas City and St. Louis, for those big metro areas, maybe even, you know, sneak down to Springfield. But for us, our administration at the high school, Tom Alvarez, Brian Groh, they do such a fantastic job. You know, they chase down a lot of potential problems that aren't cell phone related. And it just feels like this is one more thing that they're going to have to spend part of their day policing and then assigning discipline to. So it doesn't feel like an issue that's been a problem for Maryville R2. I think there's going to be some heartache and headache with it. But I do think we have a great student body. We have great supportive community. So they will support what we end up having to do. Our board will do the same, but I do hate it for those two guys that worked their tail off at the high school and now are having to police one more thing.
And do you kind of in your experience as an administrator or an educator sort of have reflections on what role healthy cell phone use and unhealthy cell phone use are sort of playing? Like where is the right place to draw that line?
So I think a lot of it comes back to, I would say, parenting. You know, you don't know this about me, but I just graduated two twin daughters from the high school, and they got their cell phones when they were in seventh or eighth grade. And, you know, there's always some parameters at our house on those cell phones until about a year or so ago. Our youngest is a sophomore. She still has some guidelines on her cell phone usage. And I do think there are opportunities for that to go awry. But I think the education part of it, whether that comes from home or maybe take these same dollars that were spent on creating this policy and enforce some education of how to best use those cell phones and devices, might be a better place for us to pivot to. I will say that there are going to be some exemptions to this rule. So if you have a 504 student that might have a condition such as diabetes, they'll be able to continue to utilize their device to monitor their symptoms. And if they have a need for it based off of an IEP, they will be able to utilize their cell phone. So there will be some exceptions, but...
So if it's truly life or death out there, parents, don't panic.
Don't panic. They'll be able to utilize their device. But, you know, it's one of those things that... we haven't been crying to legislators that this has been a significant problem for us. And then it just feels like it's one of those being pushed down on us that we still have to abide by and enforce.
Fair enough. The state legislator has spoken, I guess, on that one. All right. I believe that is all we were cut out to cover here today. What's up next for the district? Leave us with something to look forward to or mark on our calendars.
You bet. So we'll hit July. July is a really pretty quiet month, but it's a month where we start thinking about what's ahead. We will start meeting with some of our new staff, our new certified staff, our new classified staff in the month of July, welcome in some fresh faces to the district. And then we'll be thinking about all the other preparations that go into a successful start to a school year. So our teachers and staff come back on August 13th. That's a Wednesday. We'll have a district-wide meeting that Friday. And again, students, they jump into buildings on August the 20th. So we have all those things to look forward to. Gavin, you're new to the area, but we've got a great sports scene, not just here on campus with Northwest, but our Maryville Spoofhounds are quite a bit of fun too. So hopefully you can be out there some to check out our Friday night under the lights. a blast.
Absolutely.
Come check out Matt and I. We'll be in a studio somewhere broadcasting some Spoofhound football games. And then we've got softball that'll be kicking off also in about mid to late August. Lots of sports and activities to come out and check out. We think we got a pretty good product at Maryville.
Cool. All right. Phil Porin, thank you so much for your time today.
Perfect. Thanks for having me today. I really appreciate it. Nice to get to sit down with you, Gavin.
That was Acting Superintendent of Maryville Schools, Phil Porin, speaking last week. This has been Spoofhound Spotlight on KXCV Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe. We'll be back with another at the end of July.
Support for Spoofhound Spotlight is provided by the City of Maryville, featuring the Conference Center at Mazingo Lake Recreation Park, offering a destination for wedding receptions, parties, reunions, and more. Details on availability and accommodations are at mazingolake.com. And from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing in Maryville, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years. Kawasaki has employment opportunities available now for all three shifts, weekends, and full and part-time. For more information, kawasakimaryville.com.